Welcome to a very, very happy holiday Jazz Piano School podcast. I don't know about you, but I'm stressed, but Jazz Piano never sleeps. So here we are at the podcast. This is episode number 110.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be episode 110, and this is going to be a fun one because I'm going to be going over Santa Claus is coming to town in the spirit of Christmas. So I hope everyone is having a great day, a fantastic holiday. And hopefully, well, probably not while you're listening to this. You know, it's probably chaotic right now because we're, you know, when we release this, it'll be a couple days before Christmas. But, you know, probably not getting much practice time in. I'm not either, but obviously filming the podcast here. We've had so many different things going on. We, you know, we had a huge Black Friday sale, and then we had a, we released the lab. We had our lab launch, which was fantastic, amazing, getting great feedback on that. And we just got so many interesting things happening at Jazz Piano School. So if you're listening for the first time, welcome. Again, if you need more information, go to jazzpianoschool.com. We're going to be revamping a lot of the website, a lot of the services and products we offer to kind of, you know, just, we have so many different things going on right now. You know, we got specialty courses. Like if you listen to some of the other podcasts before, we get their specialty courses. We got the lab now, which is going to be awesome. We're going to be doing live Q&As in the lab for lab members every month. We're going to be doing artist highlight area in the lab, not to mention all the upgrade formulas, which we're going to be adding monthly upgrade formulas to the lab as well, which is going to be fantastic. I really want to mail out like to the members of the lab, and this is what we're going to start doing, hopefully, is that we just have to kind of nail down the you know, the logistics of it, but I want to mail out our monthly artist highlight education section. So you'd get, besides getting it just in the section of your lab members area, you would actually receive the educational pamphlet on our artist highlight for the month. So let's say it was Keith Jarrett, right? We would do a transcription of a certain area of his solo or a specific concept. Maybe his comping, maybe his improv, maybe his left-hand voicings, maybe some rhythmic things he's doing in a solo. You'd actually get that in the mail, a nice put-together flyer of the transcription of the, you know, kind of the analysis. Obviously, there would be no video, but we'd give you links in the flyer to link to the video, but you get the practice exercises in the flyer, too, to kind of practice what he's doing, and obviously, you can see the transcription. You can watch the videos in the members area section, but you'd have, like, a hard copy of the Keith Jarrett, you know, our analysis of that concept for him. Then you get the Herbie, and then you get Chick Corea, and then Oscar Peterson, you know, so you're getting these artist highlight pamphlets in the mail sent to you directly every single month for lab members. So I'm really excited about that. We got that in the works. And just in general, I mean, Jazz Piano School is going really, really well. And I'm excited. And so I love doing the podcast. I'm trying to get more staff on because it's hard for me to do everything. I mean, I love all you guys and my listeners following the podcast. And eventually, I mean, I never wanted to come to this point. I always want to do the podcast because I absolutely love it. But in order to make Jazz Piano School grow, it's just, I'm just one person, you know. I can't, you know, at the speed we're growing and what we're going to be releasing in the next coming year. I mean, we're going to be getting into Jazz Piano software almost, you know, with the website. It's basically going to be like software, not installed software like the old days where you get a CD in the mail and then put it in the computer, right, and install it. But like, it's going to be a web app. So that's what we are moving towards in development. That's what I really want to, you know, develop. And I need to work with the developer and the designers to make that happen, to implement a lot of the features that I want to see that are going to be able to help you guys out there, right? So, you know, a lot of different improvisational features, listening to your playing features that are going to be automatic, that can give you feedback, critique, kind of matching it up with different solos, transcriptions, and all that good stuff. I mean, there's just, There's just so much to do. It's just crazy. So I need help. You know, I need help. I need help with the podcast, with the blog. And that's why if you read our blog, some of the blog art, most of the blog articles are not written by me, but they're written by other jazz pianists. And these jazz pianists are fantastic. I mean, these are working jazz pianists in New York that are really, really fantastic playing at the clubs in New York. So, I mean, I'm in Sacramento. I don't get that much exposure by any means. So it's actually better if you hear from them. They're right in the thick of things. So just so much to do, but I'm really, really excited about the way things are moving, and it's just going really, really well. My vision for Jazz Piano School as we're coming to the close of the year, just to kind of talk a little bit more, but it's just to really take Jazz Piano School to a new level, take jazz piano education to a new level. I don't want Jazz Piano School to just be another kind of like, okay, here's how you play jazz piano. I mean, there's other jazz piano sites. They give you courses. They give you instruction. I get it. You know, that's not my goal for Jazz Piano School. I want it to be innovative. I want it to be interactive, engaging, like a completely new experience to learning jazz piano. Like, oh, wow. Like the content delivery needs to be interesting and just like in your face and accessible and quick and fast and easy, you know, like everything that the modern day world gives you. And that's what I love about business and technology, you know, is that it can merge with jazz piano and do all those things for you. And that is my vision for Jazz Piano School. I want it to be so much more than just delivering jazz piano courses to you, right? So in the next year, our goal, again, is to get into the app field, get into the website app field, which we're going to be going into, how to deliver the content to you, how to engage with the user so that you're practicing in the most efficient way and learning in the most efficient and optimal way. Because I could have used all of these. I mean, if you guys know my story, I went through so much pain, just 20 years of frustration, pain. Most people are still doing this. I mean, there's no reason that in this day and age, you shouldn't have an easy, structured, organized, step-by-step plan to learn jazz piano that's provided and delivered to you in a rich, you know, engaging environment that's going to give you notifications, that's going to help you practice, that's going to remind you, that's going to, tell you the best way to practice, that's going to give you practice videos and tips, you know, give you all the transcriptions, show you the notes, listen to your playing. I mean, all of that stuff, right? Just to help you improve faster and ultimately achieve your goal of jazz piano freedom so you can be happy, right? The ultimate goal is that jazz piano makes us happy. Music makes us happy. And in life, I mean, what I've realized, and I'm sure you may have realized as well, depending upon your age and things like that, but I mean, music feeds our soul differently than anything else on this earth, right? Music feeds the soul differently than anything else on this earth. And to invest in your musical education is probably the best investment you can make. And I've realized that, and I want to help people understand that, because when you're able to sit down and play and express yourself, I mean, that's priceless. That's going to serve you for the rest of your life, right? So the faster we can get you there, and the better we're giving you the most appropriate and necessary jazz piano tools to help you achieve that goal, your life is going to be rewarded for that, right? You're going to be living a rich, happy life because of it, because your soul is going to be happy and you're going to be feeding that part of you that nothing else can give you, right? Materialistic things, cars, houses, gifts, nothing comes and feeds your soul like music does. So it's just a very, very special opportunity that I really want to take advantage of right now and help as many people around the world as possible. And that's why I give you guys that mission statement of mine, and for the company as well. So, wow, I don't know how that kind of got launched in, just because we had gone through so many things so recently. But I've been thinking about everything so much, you know, and so I just want to get that off my mind. But in this episode, I'm going to be going over Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and in this kind of series, I'm going to be doing a series, small series of just playing tunes, right? The podcast lessons contain so many tools now that I think a lot of people have gotten a lot of the tools. I'm going to start just doing a series on playing tunes, and then I'm going to refer back to the tools that are already in the podcast that you can go and find. So you can, you know, look through the tools that I'm using, find those tools, learn them, and then implement them in the same way. All right. So with all that being said, again, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast110 to get the practice materials for this podcast. Again, if you're interested in learning more about our services and products, go to jazzpianoschool.com and you can just click on that homepage button. It'll actually bring you to an overview page of everything we offer and some cool information about how we're different than the other jazz piano sites online as well. So, man, there's one more thing that just popped in my mind as I was talking. Yes, and so for all the lab members listening as well, remember you can go have access to the podcast materials in your lab members area section for free, and we'll be posting those as well. Okay, so with that being said, let's dive right in. All right, so here we go. This is going to be Santa Claus is Coming Down. So again, when we're playing, this is going to be solo piano. When we go to start playing solo piano, there's a couple steps and tools inside the upgrade formulas in the lab section. And again, if you're not a member, that's okay as well. But especially with solo piano, there's a couple things we always need. We always need the bass note. Okay. In this case, I'm going to play in the key of C. Okay. And so we need the bass note. We need the melody, which I just played. And we need the shells. We need some sort of harmony. So I can play the melody with the bass note and it should sound good. Right? I mean, that sounds great, but we need some sort of harmony. But I would recommend the first step is to be able to, with any tune, not just Christmas tune, right, to be able to do what I did and make it swing, right? You should be able to do that with some sort of confidence and make, and like if I just played that for you guys and you're probably like, well, you know, not to sound arrogant, but you're like, oh, that sounded pretty decent. He wasn't even playing shells, right? You may be thinking that. I was also thinking that, like, that sounds kind of cool. Just melody and bass notes, right? You should be able to do that with any tune, no matter what it is, right? Any standard you're looking to play, you should be able to do the same thing, right? So, whoa, sorry. That's what happens when you start thinking about what you're going to say after you, before you're done playing. So that's what you should be able to do. Now, what we need to do is add harmonies, okay? So some of you may, I mean, if you have a chord chart for this, I'm going to give a lot of lessons here in what to actually do. You're going to get reharm lessons. You're going to get harmonization lessons. You're going to get melody lessons. No specific improv just yet. But as I go to play a melody, when I'm playing this melody, obviously most tunes start on the one, right? So if you don't have a chart, you're trying to put chords to this melody, for example, right? When you hear certain downbeats, like, or the breaks of the phrases, so obviously this is the beginning of the phrase. That's one phrase. Now, these three notes obviously sound different than this grouping of three notes. Now, it sounds like if you just use your ear and intuition, it sounds like there's a different chord here. There should be a different chord. Now remember, most chord changes happen every bar. Not a lot of times do you hear one full melodic line over like one chord for four bars, right? That's very uncommon except for jazz, modal, and modern tunes. At a traditional tune like this or any traditional jazz standards, you're going to see changes moving pretty consistently, right? Two chords per bar or one chord per bar, or rarely, mostly at the end of phrases, you may have one chord for every two measures. Since we're starting off, you can assume that's not the case. So you have this. One, right? So there's our pickup into the first measure. So that's the first measure. We can assume that the chord is going to change. So we're going to need a new chord. So if we look at this note, this is A, right? This is the third, okay, of an F chord. So we want to think diatonically first. And what does that mean? We're taking the seven chords from the key and seeing what chord may be best to fit the next phrase, right? So we have seven chords diatonically in the key of C. And most of the time, chords are going to move in some sort of pattern, progressions, right? So they work in progressions. Like you have one, you have two, going to the five. Maybe you have three, right? Going to the six, two, five, one. Sometimes you have one, four, five, one. So chords tend to work in certain popular patterns, right? One to the four is very popular. One to the six is very popular. One, two, three, four, moving up is very popular. Now, if you know the tune, let's say you don't know the tune at all. I mean, obviously, we all know Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So we can try different chords here and see what works best. So I'm going to play my C major 7 root position here. Now, if I play an A minor 7 here, that's kind of a dark, haunting chord, right? That's probably not the best chord for this happy tune yet, right? So we don't want to put an A minor 7 there, but if you're harmonizing with the melody, you want to do some reharms, maybe you throw in an A minor 7. All I'm doing is matching the chord tone to a note in one of the 7 diatonic chords. Now, A is also the 5th of a D minor chord, so I could play that. Right? Maybe I keep going up. And then finally, I get to my F chord here. So that would be like a reharm. I just reharmed Santa Claus is Coming to Town by using my own chord changes. And I pick, excuse me, guys, I got something stuck in my throat. But that's how I reharmed Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, if you want more of a traditional version, obviously, we can try maybe the 1 to the 4. That is probably what's going to sound best. Right? Going to that 4 chord. Usually it goes to the minor there, right? For minor. Okay. And if you listen to the modal interchange podcast, you'll see how that fits in. That's we're borrowing. That's our modal interchange chord, right? Borrowing from the minor, the 4 minor. Okay. So that's how you reharm the piece. Now, can you use other chords? Sure. I did a whole section on this. You know, we can go to whatever chord fits with the note. You know, that might work. Let me see. You know, again, I'm taking the notes and matching chords to the note. It's going to sound out, yes, but that's how you experiment, write, compose, and figure out what you like best, okay? But anyway, getting back to actually the playing of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, like I started out, we need the melody, and we need the bass notes, and we need shelves, okay? So the first thing we want to do is try and harmonize underneath the melody. A lot of people always try and harmonize with their left hand. As you get more advanced, the harmonizations are going to move more into your right hand. So I would do something like this, you know? Or we can play a full chord with the harmonization of the melody, right? So what I'm doing here is I'm playing 1 and 10, right? And I'm doubling the melody note here. Right? You see that? Most of the time in solo piano, you're going to have your right hand's going to be doing a lot of work. It's going to be harmonizing a lot underneath the melody quickly to add harmonies, or your left hand's going to be jumping. Now, there's left-hand solo piano components you need to know when playing solo piano that are essential to play solo piano properly because your left hand is supporting everything. Whoops. You're supporting everything that your right hand is doing, okay? This needs to act as like the foundation, the stone. And by doing that, we're going to play bass note to shells. We're going to do a lot of things. 1 and 10, right? 1 and 7 in certain areas. 1 and 3 in certain areas. Bass note to full root position chords. If you're a member of the lab, go and learn all the left-hand solo piano components you can, because in that upgrade formula, this is going to directly relate to this, okay? So what I did, again, I did this. Right, so I'm playing 1 and 10 here and harmonizing with the melody, 9 and 13 underneath the melody note. So I'm actually making the first chord a 6 chord instead of a major 7. I could do this as well. Right? I could also do this. Put the 5 here, play the 13, the 6 rather, with my thumb and play both notes. Okay? Now, if we had picked the traditional chords, we know we're going to the F, right? The F major 7. So again, a simple arrangement is taking the melody. The melody happens to be a shell note, so I don't need this A anymore. I don't need a third because I'm already playing in the melody. Okay, that's a very key point. If you have the melody note as a shell note, you don't need it underneath. But you can double it and stack it, and it creates a nice voicing as well. You hear that? So instead of this, you get a thicker voicing by doubling the shell down below. Right? So I want to kind of, once I have my shells, I can add in some extensions. I can add my 13 here. I can add my 9 in here maybe on the left hand. Sounds very nice. And again, I could add something in here if I want and then maybe remove this one. It's completely up to you. All of these are completely okay. This is the freedom that jazz gives you. Once you know the tools, you can achieve freedom by picking and choosing whatever you want. You're the painter, right? So they're just different textures. This is a thinner texture. This is a thicker texture. So it's completely up to you. Now, picking the textures, again, we're starting with the melody. You take the bass note, then we fill in with the shells or any other extensions. Now, for reharm purposes and a reharm, quick reharm lesson as well throughout the tune, Santa Claus and all the other tunes, once we get the basic solid structure of the chords, right? Now, that last line is probably a 1-6-2-5. How do I know that? Just most of the times at the end of phrases, you're getting some sort of turnaround, like a 1-6-2-5, 3-6-2-5. Some sort of turnaround is going to happen. It's just the way tunes are written, right? So we have 1-6-2-5. And again, look at the melody. It fits perfectly with a 1-6-2-5. To the 3, right? Basically, I'm playing all the 3s and 5s or all the 1s and 3s. I mean, it fits perfectly with a 1-6-2-5. So when we go to reharm, when we know the basic structure, I need to get to an F major chord. So what can I add in to get to that F major chord? That's what I'm now asking, right? And the easiest thing to start out with, right, to get to a major 7 chord is a 5. We can always add the 5. So I can add the 5 dominant, right, which is a nice sound, very beautiful sound to get to the 4. Right? So all I'm adding is a C7 chord. I'm changing my C major 7. Right? So I'm going harmonizing with shells here. And then I'm changing to my 7 here. So these two shells here are changing to a dominant 7. I'm adding the 9 in here, which is giving that nice color richness to it. Just one extension. Right? So now I got my 5 in there. And this 5 is resolving to the 4 major. Right? Now, instead of staying, again, on the 4 major, we could make that a minor, right? We could go to the 4 minor, right? And so what I did there, so I have 1 and 10 again. You don't necessarily need that. You can just do this. Now, I played the minor third in my left hand. You could play it in your right hand, right? It gives you a different sound, okay? The left hand is going to be a lower end support, so it gives like a thicker, more balanced harmony, I would say, in my opinion, right? And then I have the 13 in here, excuse me, the 9 and 13 down here. So it's like a minor 6. We're playing a 4 minor 6 chord, right? It's very, very beautiful. You could even play a minor major. You could go, that's really pretty too. Right? Very, very pretty stuff. So it doesn't matter what 4 minor you play. It could be a regular minor as well. That's just more of a neutral minor sound, right? So you could go, you could add the 11 in here. Ooh, I like that. I could even, I don't know if I can reach that. That's cool. Or you could jump to it. Right? So many different things, but I want you to see the act and process of the how you create the arrangement, how you create freedom in a jazz standard, because again, my goal, and I've learned so many things about education by starting Jazz Piano School. So many people default to reading arrangements of tunes, right? And then people will come out with courses like, you know, oh, the cocktail way to play tunes, or like how to play the, you know. Now, I'm not knocking these courses by any means. I just want to educate you on the education that you are getting. I should write a blog about that because it's very, very important. The way people are educating you is educating you in a certain way. So if I teach you, if I come out with a course and you buy a course like how to play Christmas songs in a jazzy way, right? That is not teaching you how to do it yourself, right? That's just simply showing you what to do. Now, if you learn the tools that go into doing that, you can do it over any single tune. You're essentially creating jazz freedom in your playing. Whereas if you buy like a tune like How to Play Cocktail Piano, How to Play Reharms to Play Christmas Songs, How to Play Ragtime, right? And you're reading the sheet music and you're defaulting to sheet music, you're not essentially learning how to sit down at the piano and do it yourself. You're not a learning jazz freedom. And so when you understand that, when you understand the whys as to like what you're getting out of education, it's going to help you so much more, like immensely. So I want you to understand the system here. That way you can take these tools in the system and use it over any single tune. That's where you get the happiness. That's where you achieve the freedom. That's where you're able to sit down at any piano and do exactly what you want whenever you want, right? With complete freedom and self-expression. It's not by learning these styles, right? I can play any style because of the tools I have in my tool bag. Right? Most people cannot because you're copying styles or you're buying courses on certain styles. That will not teach you necessarily the tools going into the style, right? You have to learn, you know, just like building a house, right? We get a blueprint, we have all the tools, and then we can use the tools to build any house. Whereas a lot of people are buying, this is how I learned, by the way. I'm not accusing anybody. Like, this is how I did it for 20 years, 20 plus years. Can you believe it? Like, that's what I did. So I want to help people understand, like, the education you're getting is faulty. Like, the traditional way of kind of learning that stuff, it's not getting you to the place you need. We're being given the blueprint rather than the tools. So when we have a blueprint, it's like, okay, I can build this one house because I have a blueprint and that's it. I can't change anything about this blueprint because it's set in stone. Like, this is all I can do. Whereas when I give you a hammer, a wrench, a screwdriver, right, a plane, like a sander, you can build any house you want, however you want, whenever you want. That's our ultimate goal. I don't know how I got off on that tangent. Sorry. I get a little passionate sometimes. Anyway, so we are on the C7 chord, okay? And then we go into the 4 major. So what can we do to precede a dominant 7 chord? We can put the 2 in there, right? We can put the 2 minor going to the 5. Then we can add some extensions and some movements, right? Now, what am I doing exactly with my left hand? I'm using my two-hand voicing building system, guys, for all the lad members out there. Right, so I have 1 and 7 here, moving to 1 and 3. And I'm just switching this middle note here, right? I'm playing the 5, I'm moving it to the flat 9. I love that minor major there, it sounds fantastic. So I have 1, 13, or 1, 6, minor 3, minor major here. Excuse me, the major 7, 9. This is a beautiful voicing. I got to use this more. One of my headphones in my headphones is broken, so I can only hear it out of my left ear, but only in the left ear it still sounds beautiful. I got to hear in both ears. I got some new headphones. Right? Can even add some movements, harmonic movements, you know, anything like that. But that's essentially, we take the harmonizations, right, start to lead into that. Now, what can I do? Again, all these reharm tools, guys, are the 4 essential reharms in the lab, or you can learn them. If you're not a lab member, you can go to the podcast, and I've talked about the like a lot of essential reharm tools you can use. So now from here, I can make the dominant chord a sus chord if I want. You hear that? So here I'm playing sus now and resolving. So I have C, I have my sustained 4, right? Okay, that's very, very beautiful. Again, I also love the flat 9 on a sus chord. This is very beautiful as well. Right? I don't know if that's the right moment to use it. I kind of like the major there, but I'm not really sure. But again, you can do it that way if you want. You can also use the 2-5. Now, instead of the 5, we can use a tritone. We can go to this, right? So again, 13 and flat 9 here on the over the F sharp 7. So we can also use the tritone. That's another way to do it. All right. And again, using these tools and reharms, guys, you can do this over every single tune, right? We can also, again, modal interchange, we can go to the flat 7 in replace of the 4 minor. That's very common as well. It's completely up to you. We can also go to the flat 7 sus. And then resolve. You hear that? Sus, resolution. Let me see. We could approach the two minor with the half step above minor. Sorry, like a minor major. I don't know if that's exactly what you want to do. Let me see. You go from the sus to the tritone. Anything like that, again, will work. And again, these are just more traditional reharms. Like, essentially, obviously, you can play anything you want. Like, I'm never going to stop you from doing your own thing and doing exactly what you want, right? Now, as we move into the final portion of the tune here, let me see, where are we? Right, we have our 1-6-2-5, okay? So we have that. So now, reharming the 1-6-2-5, we have a lot of different options. We can do minor. Right, we can do that. Now, the melody is kind of low here, so that can be problematic. Like, how do we harmonize in this section? It doesn't give us as many options as when a melody's up here, right? That highly depends on the register. If you own our solo piano system, I talk about that a lot, is the register that the melody is in is going to highly affect your arrangement. If you have a melody down low in the solo piano system, I show you how to essentially harmonize low-end melodies and the tools to do that. But again, as we see here, I'm going to show you how to do that right now. So, right, it goes down to middle C here. We actually don't have much room or anything to do here. So what we want to aim for is low, rich voicings like this. I'm just going to use one bass note. I think this is off the camera. Let me check here. Yeah, that's off the camera. So that's a low A. I'm putting everything in my right hand and creating a nice low-end bass note. Right? See how I'm harmonizing and jumping to a new melody while almost keeping the harmonizations? Right? Again, the lower you go, you're not going to have as many options because it gets muddy. Like, listen to this. It's too muddy, right? So we need to keep everything below the right-hand melody and just play bass notes in our left hand. It sounds like it's a great tool for beauty. Now, as we move up here, right, we can start to create some, we get some more space, right? And again, for middle C is pretty low for melody. As it keeps going down lower, again, we lose lots of options. But even up to the F, it gives us some more options here, right? We can add this sharp 11 here with a third. All right, so. And we can harmonize that with that new melody, right? With the last melody note. Now, after the melody is when we actually have some opportunity to do, you know, whatever we want. Since we played a pretty low-end melody here, we can jump up, right? You know, whatever it is. And again, so the voicings here, guys. I love sliding from my 13 to the 7 here. And I have 3 here. Again, two-hand voicing building system for the lab members. I believe I did a podcast actually on the two-hand voicing building system. So that's in 103, 104, 105, I think. 1 and 7, 3 goes here, right? I have the flat 9 on top. Now, these are voice leading. These are all drop 2s here, guys. Right? I have a nice... This is a beautiful chord here. I love this sound, right? This can slide very, very nicely down into a sharp 9 chord, actually on the D7. Right? So we're going from the 13, natural 13 and flat 9 sound to the sharp 9. Right sound, and then again flat 9, 13, 3, and again my drop 2. These are the leading shell notes in my left hand. Right, so 7 here for the A7, 3, 7, 3. You see how that works? The voice leading pattern here, 7, 3, 7, 3. Again, 7, and when we add our bass notes in, that's gonna give it a fuller texture. Right, you see that? So we have the melody here, right? And again, I'd probably add this beforehand so we can get more of that rich harmony. Right, you see that? I'll play this first and then add the 7 in there. And then you can jump up and comp like that. But again, more reharps here. You can start on your 3 if you want. You can add a more of a sharp 9 sound. Excuse me. Using the melody to harmonize different extensions is very, very popular and highly recommended. So if we have that G as the sharp 9, it's going to be a great sound. Like, it acts as a 5 over the C chord, or it can act as the sharp 9 over the 3 chord, right? See that? Now, I can substitute the 3 in place of the 1 just because it's 3-6-2-5 or 1-6-2-5. It's essentially the same thing, right? I can go to the minor here. I could put my 3rd in and make it, again, make the melody note a sharp 9. You hear that, right? That's cool. And then I can go to the tritone of my 2 and make the melody note a sharp 11. Woo, I love this. Right? So again, using that simple, that's like a nugget right there. Taking the melody and making the melody note an extension as a reharm to a chord. Sharp 9 is the melody. We're making the melody note a sharp 9, right? Making the melody note a sharp 9 here. Now we're making the melody note a sharp 11 as a tritone over. It still fits with the harmony though, guys. I'm not picking random chords just yet here, right? I'm still using simple reharms, but at the same time, they're creating the melody notes to lead to extension. So here, I'm using a tritone of the 2. I'm making this, so this is an A flat 7, right? I was actually leaving the 3rd out there. So we can do this, right? So I'm gonna do this again for you guys slowly. Right, we can do this. You can play this with your left hand too. You can do this. So you can go basically sus here. Dominant, right? You see that? So G sus, we're on the 5 now. You know, to however you want. So again, from the A flat 7. Or we can, again, jump down to the tritone of the 5 if we want. So many different ways to move around. Hopefully you could see, again, when harmonizing solo piano, our harmonies are going to be underneath, mostly in our right hand. Our left hand isn't doing much, but it needs to be able to do what it's doing very well. I hope that made sense. It's not doing much, but it needs to do what it has to do very, very well in order to provide support. And what it's doing, again, is the 6 left-hand solo piano components that are in the solo piano system or in the upgrade formulas in your lab. But again, for the non-members, again, 6 left-hand solo piano components, right, is basically going to be either it's going to be either 1 and 7, 1 and 3. It's just how you move it around. It gets a little bit complicated in voice leading and stuff like that. But so again, right? The sus again. I love that, right? I love this. The reharm I just came up with, I love that a lot. Sounds really good. I went here. Right? And again, adding that kind of, see how much you need to be able to jump though? Because in solo piano, when you're not playing, like ballads is, okay, you harmonize. We have a whole 7-step process to harmonizing the melodies and stuff like that. But when you get into this medium swing tempos, you need to grab all the harmonizations, as you can see that I'm doing. You need to be able to play the melody and harmonize the melody with your right hand. You catch all the movements. I mean, there's so much going on, and do it nicely with rhythms, right? Okay, you see that? So, when I break it down, hopefully you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's what's going on. I start with the melody, bass notes, shells, start to add extensions, then start to add my reharms in, see what I can catch while reharming my melody. At the same time, add the rhythmic qualities of the melody gives you the rhythms anyway. So like in the space, I'm gonna comp, or I'm gonna comp rhythmically with the melody, right? So I'm just playing the melody with my rhythmic comps. Right? And again, anytime the melody holds, I'm gonna fill in the space, or I might comp with the rhythmic value of the melody to get my reharms in. All right, it doesn't need to be too fancy. You just try and get them in a simple manner where they can fit, okay? So that was a lot, guys. Again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast110 to get the transcription of everything I played here. And again, go to jazzpianoschool.com, check out all the services. Again, our lab just opened, all right? We did just have a lab launch, okay, which is over, but you can, obviously, it's open for enrollment whenever you want. You can go check that out at jazzpianoschool.com. Again, click on the main button on the first page you see, very, very simple. Get an overview of all of our products and services. And again, we got so much fun stuff coming up in the new year, guys. Our website's going to be completely redesigned. And again, we're going to have an interactive practice calendar. It's going to send you notifications. You'll be able to book practice sessions with yourself to link to all of our courses, like the main course or the lab. And, you know, that's going to remind you. There's going to be badges, rewards. There's going to be interactive listening software we're going to start to include. There's going to be practice videos that will allow you to comp and play and practice with the videos on there. You can decide what tempo. I mean, when you see this that's coming up, you're going to be like if you've checked out other piano sites, maybe you belong to some other online piano sites, you're going to be like, what? This is outrageous. Like how is this even possible? You know, that's I want to blow people's minds with the jazz piano education, you know? So I want to give you everything you possibly need, make it fun, make it enjoyable for you, not just like, okay, here's how you play these tunes, like here's some licks, right? So many sites do that. I'm not in the market for doing that. I want to completely transform your jazz piano learning experience so that you're able to basically achieve results just 100 times faster, right? With technology that we have out there, and ultimately get you to jazz piano freedom, you know, in a tenth of the time, so that you're able to do exactly what you want and just be happy in life. Just be like, dang, Brendan, thank you so much. Like, this has changed my life, because it changed my life, right? You know, as I developed this, my educational style, right, actually improved my own playing a lot, much more so than I had with a lot of materials out there. And I want to do that for other people as well. I want them to be like, this has changed my life. And we already do that as well. I just love keep hearing from people, you know, hey, this has changed my life. So again, I don't know. I'm amped right now. I'm all fired up. But that's it. So I'm going to be continuing with the series. I might do the bridge to Santa Claus is Coming Down, or I might go to a jazz standard next. I'm not really sure which. But that is it. Hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, safe holiday. And I will see you in the next episode. And happy practicing.